Good morning. It is great to see you guys this morning. I don't know if you have a guess what we're going to be talking about this morning. We're going to be talking about joy. We're going to be talking about unshakable joy, something that can't be stripped from you no matter what circumstances throw your way. And it was kind of interesting because I was heading a total different direction and with a sermon, and I wrote this sermon before I left on vacation, and the sermon I was writing and pulling together was cool, but it didn't feel right. And I said, Thomas, what's the Advent for that day? And he said, joy. And then I found a passage that I was really, really liked, and so I wrote the sermon out and got it all done and left on vacation and came back, and turned out that Miss Ann had all of this set up this morning for her kids stuff Sunday here, and had a great time this morning talking about joy and the fact that joy is something that can't be stripped from you, because joy is not something that's based on emotions or feelings or what you're going through. It's based on something way bigger than that. It's based on Jesus. And this morning, we've got a lot of stuff going on in our crazy world in which we live in. And we've got some people that are going through some tough times. But this morning, as we get started and we head into the sermon, I would like to pray real quick. And a few people over in this region over here can jump up and put their hands on Miss Linda. She's got some stuff she's going through this week. So if we could do that, have a couple people get up and pray with her, that'd be great. All right? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the fact that the joy that we possess as followers of Jesus Christ are not based on circumstances, they're not based on emotions or feelings, they're not based on our health, they're not based on our bank accounts, they're not based on what's going on in the world, but what has gone on in us, and that you have redeemed us, you have saved us, you have loved us, and you will never leave us nor forsake us. And no matter what we face in this world, no matter what struggles we come up against, there is nothing that can separate us from you and your love and the purpose and the plans that you have for us. And we can trust you in the midst of all these things. Lord, I just ask that as we look at unshakable joy, we would focus ourselves not on the gifts that we have or the blessings that we have, because those things can be taken, but from who we have, and his name is Jesus. And it's in his wonderful name we get to pray. Protection and love over Miss Linda this week. She's got a lot she's going through, and she's got some tests being run on Wednesday. And we just ask that you would bless her and keep her in the palm of your hand as you have always promised you would do. And it's in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. All right. Unshakable joy. You know, we're heading into Christmas, and as parents, a lot of times it's a struggle. And even as grandparents heading towards Christmas, it gets kind of crazy because we make the one mistake. We ask people what they want for Christmas instead of thinking about what they need. We a lot of times say, what do you want for Christmas? And then out comes this toilet paper roll list right down the aisle of our living room saying, I want this and 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 this. And I know it's only going to get worse as someday I get grandkids, because I hear that the older you get and when you get grandkids, your heart gets softer and it grows three times as bigger, and you get to like open your wallet more and more often towards the little buggers. And someday when and if God chooses to bless my kids with children of their own, then I've got a bad feeling that's going to happen. But, you know, the cool thing is God never asked us what we wanted for Christmas. He gave us exactly what we needed that first Christmas. He gave us the most amazing gift that transforms lives and can transform the world if we let it. He gave us his Son, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the promised Messiah who was and is going to come back again one day to take his people home. He prophesied it and gave it through his prophets in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 9, we read this wonderful passage. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God, Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with his justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I cannot wait until the day that Jesus Christ is raised up in authority over all mankind, and we do not have one more debate between one party versus another, and there's not another headline that says anything bad about our leadership in this world, but it says, here's Jesus. He has come, we are his, and we're with him forever. And that's the headline. It's the last headline that needs to be written. There's no smear campaigns. There's no discrediting, because you cannot discredit the Son of God. He is the one who will bring all of these things into fruition. And the incredible thing is, when Isaiah wrote this, he said, "For to us a child is born." It was long before Jesus was born, but he says there is a child that is coming, and he is the wonderful, wonderful Son of God. So in times of struggle and great difficulty, these words can bring hope and joy to our lives. Joy and happiness are not based on the emotions or circumstances we find ourselves in, but on those unshakable promises of God and his unchanging word. You know, God's promises since Genesis all the way through Revelation, the promises that are yet to be fulfilled, all those promises ring true through Jesus Christ. They are unchanging. They will never falter. They will come to pass. Isaiah spoke it at this time, but he was talking about a future time when Jesus would be born. He was not there when the shepherds were there, and he did not hear the angels sing, "Here is the newborn king." But what we do know is that he looked forward believing that there would come a son who was going to rescue and redeem the lost. And Jesus was born to accomplish all those things and to bring joy to a world being consumed with darkness. Jesus came into this world to bring hope and joy to those who, before his birth, were looking forward to the promises that were being yet to be fulfilled. Jesus came to bring strength and hope and joy at the time of his birth for all those under Roman oppression and enslavement. And he started by going to the lowliest people he could find, the shepherds, the nobodies, to say, "This is your Savior." God announced to them through the angels and said, "Come and see this great thing." And from that point on, hope and joy was brought into the world, joy that was unshakable. And even at the time of his death and his burial, the disciples had hope and joy available to them for their choosing if they were to put their hope and their promises in something that couldn't be taken, which was God and his promises. And even us, as we wait for his imminent return for the bride of Christ, his church, those of us who are his, we have hope no matter what the world throws our way. You know, it's amazing that we worry and we fret over the people in this world that may try to take away our rights and our opportunities and strip us of all the things that we hold near and dear. But the one thing that they can't do is they may be able to take away our livelihoods, they may take away our lives itself, but they cannot take away our eternal destiny found in Jesus Christ. And the beautiful thing about Jesus, when he walked this earth and he was working with his disciples, preparing them, he always prepared them for what was coming next. In John chapter 13, verses 33 through 38, Jesus prepared them to get ready for his death on the cross. He said this, My children, I'm only going to be with you a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay my life down for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay your life down for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. The beautiful thing about Jesus is he didn't sugarcoat much, nor did he leave people in the dark. He told them always what was coming next. He prepared them for what was just ahead. And he prepared them, and when he said, I will be with you only a little longer, he was letting them know that his time was running short. The relationship that they, as they knew it, was about to change drastically, because what was going to happen was going to be really difficult for them to get through. They didn't know or understand what was about to happen, but they knew Jesus was getting them ready for something, for something that was going to be difficult, to say the least. Worse than this, he was going, and they weren't going to go with him any further. He said, you will look for me, and where I'm going, you cannot come. Not yet, anyways. But you got to love good old Simon Peter. In verses 36 and 37, Simon asked, Lord, where are you going? I'll lay down my life for you. If that means you're going to die, I'll die. But in this moment in time, Peter missed the whole thing that Jesus was trying to prepare them with. Don't worry, Peter, about my going. Don't worry about what's coming next. Love one another. You see, in preparing his disciples for times in life that can shake their joy loose, Jesus gave them some incredible anchoring points to maintain their joy. And the first anchoring point is this: the command to love one another through them, or through the tough times. John 13, 34 and 35 says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. You know, Jesus told them that he was leaving. Things were going to be different. It was going to be tough. And they weren't coming with him for the ride. He told them, you must love one another just as I have loved you. He implored them. He made it an imperative goal for them. He told them, you have to love one another through this time. So many times we miss out on that. So many times we struggle through and we fail to love people through to the end. You know, back in the 60s, the Beatles wrote, all we need is love, and they weren't wrong. Jesus said, this is the newest and most important command. Love one another. Love at all times. Love can cover a multiple of sins and failures. Love helps people endure through difficult, hard-fought battles. And love looks different at different times. Sometimes it's loving the unlovable. It's easy to love those who love you, but Paul says, what about those who hate you? It's hard to love those who are difficult, to say the least. And Paul shed some light on what it means to really love people by sharing, first of all, what it does not mean to love people. See, it begins by talking about loving yourself and putting yourself on a pedestal. In 1 Corinthians 13, he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. You know, there's a lot of times great people do great things in this world, but they do it for reasons other than love. And in that moment in time, the true nature behind what they're doing is revealed. And if what you're doing is not based on love, then what's happening is you're not being like God. You're just doing your own thing. And Jesus is saying, look, guys, I want you guys to love each other through this hard time that I'm gone. I want you to love each other and keep each other together as a family unit. I want you to make sure that you're there for one another. And that takes sacrifice to help other people. Instead of trying to build yourself in your kingdom, it's building God's and those around you. And Paul goes on and reveals what love really does. And I counted it up, and there's 17 things that he hits on that you're supposed to do. He goes on to say, you know, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, keeps no records of wrongs, love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and love never fails. And these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. You know, there's a verse that says, without faith, you can't please God. But without love, you can't be like him. Matter of fact, he says, if you don't love your brothers and sisters, the love of God, God himself, may very well not be in you. You know, that's a difficult thing, because we all have people we don't like. We all have people we don't love to the point that we're going to lay down our lives for them. But the struggle becomes when we're not willing to say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? You know, love is kind of a unique thing. Love overcomes a lot of differences and craziness, a lot of baggage, a lot of problems. But love is something extra special this time of year, it seems. Thanksgiving and Christmas bring about something inside all of us that make things a little more excited, as long as you're not the one hosting Thanksgiving or Christmas, right? Man, we get to go there and it's always going good. Going there is the best. You go and you eat and you have a great time and you don't have to clean up and it's good. It was always my mom's favorite time of year, where it seemed like love and good cheer could overcome everything that was messed up in the previous 11 months of the year. And that's all those tear-jerking commercials and TV specials where people press on to get home through snowstorms and everything else because they got to get home for Thanksgiving and Christmas, because that's where you feel the best and love is most felt when you get home. And they press on and persevere because of love. Persevering love can strengthen joy in the toughest of circumstances. And real love reveals God, who is love, in any and every circumstance. That's incredible. When you just share a little bit of your heart with some people, how that can change everything. When you extend love to people, you're kind of like mom in Motel 6. The light's on, everybody's loved, and you know you're coming, so we're going to leave the light on for you. Because true love, the true love of God, sheds light in a dark, dark world. True love helps a sick friend by taking them a meal or cleaning their home, or tell them they look good even though that they really don't. I don't know why I looked at you, Larry, when I said that. Sorry. Sometimes it's to help a kid with a broke down car that won't start, and you go and you fill it up with gas. Love can help you do the unexpected and even more than you thought possible. Someone told me, do for one that which you wish you could do for all, and encourage that one to do the same until love is felt by all. Because being loved like that changes the world and brings joy to life. And love should be the foundation of everything we do. And if that's how we operate out of, then we're going to be anchored and strong and unshakable. And that brings us to anchoring point number two, that we need to trust in God and also in me. Now, not me, but Jesus, okay? That's what Jesus was saying in John 14, 1 through 4. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me, because in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. And he says, you know the way to the place where I'm going. It's amazing that we can always trust God when we can't trust anybody else. No matter what's happening around you or in you or to you, no matter what's happening on the inside of your troubled heart or mind, you can always trust that God will care for you in every situation and bring about the best possible results he can. And what's beautiful is as we look at that passage and what Jesus is sharing to us, and because we can trust him, we always know that we have a home waiting for us just down the road. A wonderful place where the door is unlocked and we're always welcome. The front porch light is on, and when we get there, we can just come on in because family don't even need to knock. You know, it's kind of fun going back for Thanksgiving. We took off and we went to Indiana and we went to Deanne's mom and dad's, and we had a warm house, a bed to sleep in, food to eat, and family to hang out with. And it was a good time to be with family. But I have not been back to Michigan for 5 years. It's been a long time. Last time I was there was to do my brother-in-law's funeral and my sister's dad's funeral. I had a double header that day, 2 funerals in one day. It was crazy. Cried like a baby, couldn't hold it together. And that was the last time I was there, was at that moment in time. But I got excited. Jonathan couldn't keep up as we were going to Michigan. He was back there about 5 cars and stuck in traffic, and I was going home. Flying straight up 69, I told him, go 69 all the way up and turn right at KPAC Road. You'll get there. And we were going. And what was funny is when we got there, this little fat, pudgy guy named Gus, we pulled in, and this dude, I've met him one time, it's my sister's boyfriend, came running out the door like I was giving him a puppy. He was so excited to see us. And it was the coolest thing. We went in, we sat down, we had time, it was fun, it was a great time, and my crazy sisters came and we had a blast. I even went to Frankenmuth, which is like Christmas 363 days a year. And I don't do that. But when we went home for Thanksgiving at my sister's, they made space for us. They opened up their home. My niece cleaned her bedroom and bathroom, which was an act of God. And it was great. And when we left, you guys know the Midwestern leaving scenario where you get 2 or 3 hugs before you get to the door, and one when you get on the porch. And when you get to the car, you look and you see people in the window waving goodbye to you when you're going, right? And there was Gus. He wasn't going to be waving out a window. He was standing on the front porch, and I took his picture. Because there's Gus. Bye! Come back soon! And I'm like, man, we are as different as night and day. They don't hold a lot of the same values and ideas and everything else, but we're family and we love each other as crazy as we are. And there's nothing like going home, but as great as that was, there's going to come a day when Jesus goes, family, come home. And as cool as it was to see Gus standing there to open up the door to let us in, when Jesus is standing there saying, come on, I want you to meet my dad, it's going to be awesome. See, we can look forward to that
And it puts a smile on her face and chokes me up. I don't know about you guys. It makes my heart just want to explode because Jesus said, I'm making for you a beautiful home and I'm going to make it special for you and I'm going to take you to be with me there forever. And he said, you know what? You know the way there and it's him. And you may question if you belong there, but I'm going to take you home. And I'm going to bring you back and I'm going to say, meet my dad. And you know, sometimes we forget that is waiting for us. That he's getting it ready for us. And there are sometimes there are doubters among us still. And Thomas is like in John 14:5, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And we do know where Jesus was going, and we do know the way. Because the incredible anchoring point number 3 that holds it all together is joy is found in Jesus Christ alone. Because when you know the way to the Father and you have him in your heart, it don't matter if cancer comes or you accidentally step out in front of me and I run you down in the street and you look like the cat at the end of our road and you're with Jesus. You're with Jesus. You see, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And that is a promise to those who put their faith and trust in them. You know, you've heard me say it before. One of my favorite memories was Telly Savalas on the TV eating a Tootsie Pop. Bald head, looked like a Tootsie Pop. Oh, I made that connection. He goes, who loves you, baby? Put the Tootsie Pop in. Let me tell you something. Jesus loves you. The baby born in the manger to die on a cross loves you. Who died so that you could have eternal life and eternal joy, no matter what your circumstances, it's Jesus. Who is the architect of the universe and of heaven itself and is preparing a place for you. And he did a pretty good job with this beautiful world that we live in, but he's got something special in store. It was Jesus. Who promised he will come back for you and take you home to meet his dad, and it's okay when he takes you home because he's excited to take his bride home to meet dad. It's Jesus. Who said, I have come that they may have life to the full, joy to the full. Jesus said that. And my question is, who are you trusting today? Because, you know, to be honest, there are times when we all walk around with a face of death more than a face of joy. There are very few of us who aren't impacted by what's going on around us or in us. We're in our troubled minds. But ladies and gentlemen, the beautiful thing is, if you focus in on Jesus, anchor in close to him, and you help each other through the tough times by loving one another, those sad faces can be replaced with joy-filled faces. And it's time that we cut loose from the anchors that keep us from real joy we find in Jesus Christ. We need to set sail on a course straight towards Jesus and his love and lay anchor there with him. And when the waters of life threaten to capsize your faith, your joy, lay anchor and trust in God the Father and his Son Jesus. Because they prevail no matter what your circumstances or more emotions try to convince you of. See, when tough times come, and they will, we need to take the advice we find in Hebrews chapter 12. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the beautiful race that is marked out for us, I want to tell you what the finish line is. Your spot prepared in heaven with Jesus' hands. That's what you focus on. Because that's not going to change. You know, he said, get to this coordinate. Some of you will go up mountains nonstop. Some of you are going to go through the valleys. Some of you are going to go through beautiful super highways. Some of you are going to have gravel roads and goat trails. But where he leads you, ultimately he will take you home. So, with that in mind, keep in mind what the great beach bum theologian Kenny Chesney had to say. Everything's going to be all right. You ain't got to worry about nothing. Don't go hitting that panic button. Things aren't as bad as they seem. Everything's going to be all right because Jesus said so. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus has got all this. You can trust him and you can live through this, whatever you face, with your joy intact, knowing he will come for you and take you home. But if Kenny Chesney doesn't do it for you, listen to what King David had to say. In Psalm 31 through 5, this is a really cool, it's got a really cool spot. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down into the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You know, as a guy with an overpowering guilt complex going through life, thinking that I am the one who makes Paul and Peter and Thomas look perfect. And God's got to be ticked off at me all the time. It's okay if God gets angry, because he's only angry with us for a moment. But when we repent and we turn back to him, the beautiful thing is we rest and we live in the fact that his favor, his love is forever. And you can trust that. And that will anchor you and bring you joy even when, rightly so, you've blown it. So we need to get back to these simple anchor points. Loving one another through our tough times. Trusting God and Jesus no matter what. Grabbing a hold of Jesus like the woman did on the edge of his garment and Mary did after he rose from the dead when she realized Jesus was Jesus, and that's where we need to find ourselves. Right at his feet. And we can live a life of unshakable joy. And I hope that whatever you're facing right now, whether it's an empty nest or a loveless marriage or a struggling relationship, I hope you find the fact that if you go back to the beginning with love in Jesus, all these things can be made better. And you can have joy once again. Let's pray as the worship team comes back up. Father God, I thank you so much that there are right times when you are disappointed and angry with us. But that is a temporary thing. There is an eternal promise for those who love you and have given their life to you. For those who have put their hope and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation and for forgiveness of sins. That we have eternal life. We have it. It's in our pocket and no one's going to pick it. And you, Jesus, are preparing a place for us. And it's going to be far greater than all of our expectations. It's going to be amazing. And you're going to come back and take us home. No matter what we face, no matter what we go through, you're coming for us. Just like you said you were coming the first time and gave all the details that you'd even be born in a manger, you came. Even when you told your disciples, I'm going to go die on the cross, but I will rise again, you did. Even when you said, I am going to my Father, but I will come back for you, you will. And until then, may we live in unshakable joy, only found in you, Jesus. For it is in your wonderful name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.